Technorama episode 466, Questionable Metaphors.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I'm looking for the media corner. Where is it?
Over there, in the media corner.
Of course.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Don't hand me your beer and watch this.
Hey, do I get to play the straight man tonight?
The sober man tonight, I think, is what you get. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things from the geeks. This is your first time listening or watching Technorama. Thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Apparently way more sober than I need to be tonight.
You missed the party.
It sounds like it.
We are having a party, and that is because we have some friends in town. I'm going to start on microphone number 5. Joining us in the binary studio is...
Scott Tyler.
Longtime listener. Scott. Well, recent listener. How long have you been listening, Scott?
Longer than I can remember.
Since we told him to start listening. Since he started hanging out with us at Dragon Con and going, what is this all about?
But that is a trick question because I've been drinking a lot tonight.
He's joining us. I love the shirt, too. The Spocktoberfest Ponfar Pale Ale.
I like that shirt. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
He got that at Dragon Con, didn't he?
I did.
Scott's claim to fame is he is the Santa Bot at the end of the Dragon Con parade.
Yeah, and Santa Bot is currently in the closet.
Four years of college.
I may come out.
Four years of college, and that's what you're known for.
Hey, I like to leave my mark somewhere.
Also joining us in the binary studio is...
Tiffany Matlock. Whoop, whoop.
She comes with her own whoop whoops.
And...
I'm Jack Mangan, and I have come here to crush my enemies, see them driven before me, and hear the lamentations of their women.
Whoop, whoop.
It'll be a fun show.
You can see where this is going, and we haven't even started on the content yet. So stick around. We've got lots more to go. In this show, we've got pasta. Can we just have a pasta thing in crabs against humidity or crabs adjust humidity? We've got rich beggars, and we'll tell you who shot first. Stick around.
Greetings from TG Geeks webcast, where
Ben
and Keith, the two gay geeks, talk about all aspects of geekdom and nerdery. Sci-fi, comics, film, horror, genre, you name it, we talk about it.
Find our episodes each week on tggeeks.com.
Visit our Facebook page, TG Geeks Webcast.
On Google Plus and YouTube, look for us as Two Gay Geeks. You can tweet at TG Geeks and at the Two Gay Geeks.
Or call our feedback line at 469-TG-GEEKS. That is 469-844-3357. Happy listening. Peace.
Cheers.
Hi, this is Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, and you are listening to Technorama. Because you're in the cool club.
I think Dave's promo is the oldest one we can still use.
It is. And you know what? Hearing that music and his voice mixed together brings a smile to my face every time.
It's old, yet still very recent and relevant. Sad thing is, I don't think he listens to us.
Wow. Just like Dave. Yeah. Old and relevant.
Oh, did you say old and relevant?
That's what I took your words.
I'm telling on you.
Sorry.
We have some feedback from the listeners. First, we have to sing along with the song.
Oh,
this ought to be fun.
Here we go.
Letters. Letters.
Letters. Alphabet.
Who's got harmony on this? Reach right out and pull one out.
Ouch!
Letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy!
Mailman.
Ding dong. Wait, you guys sound jovial.
We sound like ding dongs. What?
Didn't hear anything.
Letters.
Oh, sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, letters.
Let's find out what we've got today. We've got a voicemail from Crazy Joe. Our message, our question of the week last week was
Crazy Joe.
What was the? We got to find Crazy Joe's. He had a bumper for Slice, didn't he?
It's Crazy Joe.
He's crazy. Something like that, wasn't it?
Everything's got to go because he's crazy.
Odds are it's on this hard drive somewhere that Mike left me, and I will find it.
I have a deadpan one we can edit from Crazy Joe. We'll just,
or we'll just have to put together our own. We asked, what was your first CD you bought? Because last week was the anniversary of the compact disc player being released. So, this is his response.
Hello, Craig. Hello, Chuck. Hello, whoever else is in the studio.
And the rest.
Time of this call. Crazy Joe here. And just calling to answer the question of what was the first CD I ever owned. The first CD I ever owned was four CDs. I bought a box set. First CDs I ever owned was the Monkees Listen to the Band four-disc box set.
Good stuff.
So there you go. I actually bought a CD player to buy that box set.
Sweet.
Because it was at a time when a lot of the Monkees albums were out of print, and I had had them on cassette or vinyl, and I no longer had a vinyl record player. It had broken. And the cassettes were not in great shape, and the albums were all out of print. So I said, well, I can get this box set that's got almost everything. And I went out and bought a CD player just to buy the box set. So there you have it. And I'll talk to you later.
Hey, any pawn shop would have had a record player.
A wise investment for a CD player to get the four CD Monkees set.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to go around the horn. Jack, what was your first CD that you remember purchasing?
Actually, I got 12 for the price of one penny.
You did the Columbia.
Yeah. No, that would have been around 1990, so it would have been thrash metal. Probably would have been Testament or Overkill. I actually don't know specifically what the first was, but probably something like that.
I got a 1984 was when I purchased my CD player, and the first one I bought was, I think I mentioned this on the last show, Billy Joel's The Bridge, one of his more widely popular albums. I think there was one hit off of that thing. Tiffany, do you remember your first CD that you purchased?
Maybe, because I think I bought some CDs at Tower Records along with the CD disc changer was with my own money. And I want to say Cure, The Wish was my first CD.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, I have a strong memory of that. Great CD, by the way.
Scott, do you remember your first CD?
Well, it was one of two, I think.
We went to the bank and made a deposit.
That's right.
Not that kind of CD.
I had to cash my lawn mowing checks.
You got checks? You didn't get cash?
Well, they didn't. It was a small town. Yeah. I think it was Let There Be Blood from AC/DC was my first one.
Nice. AC/DC, very well played. All right. We also have a couple of feedback messages, Facebook messages in the feedback, because we do tweet this out on Facebook first, and then it hits Twitter, but we never get any response from Twitter for whatever reason. Nobody follows Technorama.
Twitter's dead.
I mean, there's a couple hundred followers, but nobody responds to any of these. I check every week, and nothing ever comes back. We want to hear from you, but the Facebook people came back. Ben says the soundtrack, that's Ben Rangitan, who's on the live stream right now. Ching. Mm-hmm. He says the soundtrack to Star Wars Episode 4. I could hear rocking out to that. That's pretty cool. I think that was his first vinyl album, too. The guy, he's fallen into the George Lucas trap and keeps buying the media over and over again.
Yeah.
And Janet responds, probably a Madonna album, which is about the time CDs came out. So that makes sense.
That Janet Jackson that replied?
No, I generally don't use last names unless I know specifically who they are and can attest to their. So that's our feedback. Woohoo!
Another letter from our listeners.
I just realized they say another letter, like we only got one.
I just realized you really thought I meant somebody we knew, Janet Jackson.
Well, yeah, we do have a few listeners in the birthday calendar that we sort of fictitiously put on there, like Elvis. How about we do the history thing? We need to roll for initiative. And you got your D20?
Right here.
Okay, we were going to roll a D6, but Scott got us some crazy D6s that had like negative numbers on them. What? We're not going to roll that negative numbers. I rolled a 10. Jack?
Oh, good sound effects. Oh, my God. I got a critical miss. I think I'm going to fall off my chair or the microphone.
You got a one?
I rolled a one.
Yeah. He's going to choke to death on his microphone.
Right. I got a one last week. Tiffany?
I got a 12.
A 12.
12 get me.
Scott can roll, but he can't see the screen.
I can't see the screen.
Okay, so it's between us four. What'd you get, Craig? Okay.
I got a rock.
Yeah, nice.
Seven. Charlie.
I got a 7.
So we know it goes, what'd you get?
12.
12. So Tiffany, Chuck, I need it to go in like a circular pattern.
Just point everybody.
All right. We're going to start with Tiffany, then we'll go Jack, Craig, me. Just because that's the way I see it on the screens.
Okay.
Tiffany, you're going to go first. So I'll read out this part that's highlighted.
Okay.
And then you can have, it was on this date in whatever. Okay. First one. Here we go. On this day in history for March 9, 2016, this is the 69th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 279 days, he said 279, remaining in 2016.
It was on this date in 632 that the farewell sermon, Kabuta Tula, Wada, of the Islamic prophet Muhammad. Did what? What did he do?
It was his last sermon.
Oh.
Farewell, Muhammad.
Memorable.
Actually, so am I next or is it?
You're next.
Okay. Because mine's kind of like a Jeopardy question too, but. yeah. All right. It was 1,007 years ago today that first known mention of Lithuania in the Annals of the Monastery of Quedinburg for 500, Alex.
Craig?
Okay. The fleet of Pedro Alvarez Cabral leaves Lisbon for the Indies. The fleet will discover Brazil, which lies within boundaries granted to Portugal in the Treaty of Tordesillas in 516 years ago.
It was 220 years ago today that Napoleon Bonaparte marries his first wife, Josephine de Beauharnais. We'll go with that.
I'll taunt you a second time.
All I can picture is Bugs Bunny. Josephine, mon petit garbage.
On this day in history, the first documented discovery of gold in California occurs at Rancho San Francisco, 6 years before the California Gold Rush. That was 174 years ago today.
Take that, you Sutter's Mill.
That same date in 1862, American Civil War, the USS Monitor and CSS Virginia fought to a draw in the Battle of Hampton Roads, the first battle between two ironclad warships.
McCarthyism. CBS television broadcast the See It Now episode, A Report on Senator Joseph McCarthy. McCarthy. Oh, I had it right. Produced. I corrected myself.
Who's been drinking
produced
tonight?
Fred Friendly. Hello there. On this date in 1954.
I'm Fred Friendly. Not one of Wisconsin's more proudest moments producing Joseph McCarthy.
Probably a big jerk, Fred Friendly.
57 years ago today, the Barbie doll makes its debut at the American International Toy Fair in New York.
Dr. Belding Hibbard Schneiber.
Sounds like one of the answer cards we got.
Implants for the first time a shunt to be inverted into a patient. Oh, invented.
Into a patient.
Which allows the patient to receive hemodialysis on a regular basis. Oh. So hemodialysis was invented 56 years ago today.
Honestly, someone who knows what hemodialysis is.
I like that that's the word that you got right out of that whole thing.
The sad part is my eyes skipped a line and said Dr. Belding Hibbard Scribner implants the first Barbie doll.
Wow.
Also today in 1961, Sputnik 9 successfully launches, carrying a human dummy nicknamed Ivan Ivanovich and demonstrating that Soviet Union was ready to begin human space flight.
They yes. named the dummy.
Craig. They did on Mythbusters too.
What they do.
All right. Observers in China, Mongolia, and eastern Siberia are treated to a rare double feature as an eclipse permits the Hale-Bopp comet to be seen during the day 19 years ago today.
I remember Hale-Bopp. I have a picture of that.
I have my Nike sneakers from that.
Aren't they a British rock band?
No, that's the cult that the people wore the Nikes and all
committed
suicide. Here,
their tour swung through the city twice.
That same date in 2011, Space Shuttle Discovery makes its final landing after 39 flights. And if you thought that was fun, folks, here come the birthdays. Because happy birthday goes out on this date to the man for which our crazy country was named, Italian cartographer and explorer, Amerigo Vespucci. Yes, we are all known as Vespuccians today. He was born on this date in 1854.
We spelled it wrong. Amerigo, okay.
1854?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
No, 15. Someone transposed a number when he was editing. Guilty.
Before that, we were just that place.
Yeah.
India.
German astronomer and theologian David Fabricius was also born in this day in 1564.
Yeah, these go in chronological order, so obviously 1854 was wrong.
Born March 9th, 1824, the founder of Stanford University, Amasa Leland Stanford.
Yay! That was an easy one. Craig.
American computing pioneer Howard Aiken is born today in 1900.
Paul Wilbert Klipsch. I always wonder if I'm saying that wrong or saying something dirty. The founder of Klipsch Audio Technologies was born today in 1904.
And the first man in space, Russian... colonial pilot.
Colonel.
Pilot and astronaut. Yuri Gagarin.
Is that Yuri Gagarin?
Wow. Yuri Gagarin.
Cut it off, Jim.
Craig, I think she's stolen your title.
I know. Hey, I'm the one.
It would have been 82 today if he wasn't so gangrene.
All right. Damn it, Jim, I'm just a doctor.
American chess player and author Yun Gangreen would have been 73 today. No, I'm sorry. Bobby Fischer would have been 73.
And finally, journalist David Polk is 53. The marching band has left us, but if they were still here, that's the way it was on this day.
Yes. That was my line at the end.
For March 9th, I had to finish this up. The band left.
You can't just steal my stuff here.
Darn Skippy.
He's done that all night.
I know. I was
good
practicing
news,
that.
Good news, everyone. Then good news, everyone.
Well, actually, this isn't good news. I should have played the bad news first. Sorry. Let's do bad news.
Bad news, everyone.
Bad news is that Tony Dyson has passed away. Who is Tony Dyson, you may ask? He's the man who built the original R2-D2.
You know, I thought it said Tony Danza at first. I was like, what?
No. We are all over the bad names today. One of the most iconic non-human characters in movie history, R2-D2, was the handiwork of many people. Beloved concept artist Ralph McQuarrie designed him. Kenny Baker helped bring him to life. But it was Tony Dyson who passed away today at the age, well, today as of when this article was written, at the age of 68, who had the daunting task of building R2 as a real-life droid. In the 1970s, Dyson owned the White Horse Toy Company in the UK and worked uncredited on the films like Moonraker, Superman 2, and Dragon Slayer as an effects supervisor.
Uncredited?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty sad. When George Lucas began production of Star Wars in the country, he tapped Dyson to bring McQuarrie's artwork to life. We have a couple pictures on the screen. Mm-hmm. Dyson modeled the building process on the same technique his toy company used to mold rocking horses. He built 8 droids for the franchise, including multiple remote-controlled versions, 2 versions that Kenny Baker could sit in and operate, and a throwaway model for Empire Strikes Back that was hurled into the swamps of Dagobah. Oh, pretty sad.
A throwaway model.
Stunt double.
Later, spit it out.
Later on in his life, Dyson turned his focus to artificial intelligence and robotics, building bots for Sony, Toshiba, and other electronics companies. Dyson was immensely proud of his work on Star Wars and even set up an R2-D2 Builders Club in the UK so fans could craft their own astromechs, although the always litigious Lucasfilm mandated that he couldn't build them to the exact specifications from his designs using the spill. It's the same club from which the two designers were selected to build R2-D2 prop for The Force Awakens, ensuring Tony's legacy in the franchise will live forever.
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny that the Lucasfilm was so quote-unquote litigious against these people, yet they turned to the R2-D2 builders group for The Force Awakens. I mean, come on.
You guys can't build those because it's against... Oh, we need someone to build those. That'd be great.
Hey, there's a whole group that does that. Hold on. I'll get them on the phone.
And they're cheap.
Yeah, they'll work uncredited, see?
Anybody want to take the New Zealand story? Anyone? Anyone? They're pointing fingers on the other end of the island.
All right.
I'll do it.
Okay, Greg got it.
Pastafarians rejoice.
Yay! You guys know what Pastafarians are, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So the New Zealand legally recognizes the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster weddings.
Pasta.
Okay, New Zealand Pastafarians rejoice because the country best known for the Lord of the Rings now legally recognizes the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster weddings and has approved the church's head. Keep thinking like a big meatball or something. As a marriage celebrant. Capable of performing wedding ceremonies. No word if the spaghetti and meatballs is served at the reception or if that's sacrilegious.
Cannibalism, I tell you.
I know. So different strokes for different folks, but who am I to judge? Who are we to judge, right? I am just okay. This is kind of weird reading an article when the guy's referring to himself, the author.
Head of the church.
Yeah, the head of the church, Karen Martin, has been dubbed the minestrone.
Minestrone.
We have swords, we have noodles, pasta involved in the ceremony. It's a bit of fun, Dr. Martin says. New Zealand's Department of Internal Affairs late last year approved the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster's request to be able to sodomize.
not that kind of noodle.
Almost said it.
Again, who's been drinking tonight?
Keep your meatballs where they belong.
That's right. Hey, that's pretty amazing, I guess. Wait, wasn't whatever happened to the Church of the Jedi or whatever it was? When they were trying to be recognized in some places.
They're still around. And wasn't there a Klingon thing too?
You know what? I wouldn't doubt it.
All over the place.
That's right.
All right. Yes.
Whatever creams your Twinkie, go for it, right?
That's a different church.
I think we had that card tonight.
Craig, we've just been playing Crabs Adjust Humidity, which is a takeoff of Cards Against Humanity. So please watch the innuendo.
No.
It's not going well tonight.
Yeah.
Our listener birthday calendar, we have several people, two of which may or may not have been here tonight. We have on the 9th, when this show airs, Tim Adamek and Lisa Godot.
And why didn't Tim here? Say he should have been here.
He said he was a maybe on this party, but he's got to work crazy hours. He works like 4:10s and they run over on Sunday, so I can't help the man. We also have Ed Ovette. We know Ed. Ed is a longtime podcaster and podcast listener. The 11th is Andy Helbsby of Absom Blog and Lutely, and Ken Kitzman, a.k.a. Kitz Ken. Chooch Schubert. Let me just call him Chooch. He's on the 12th. The 13th is Joanna Gonzalez, a.k.a. Mighty Joe. Eric Rice is on the 13th also. And don't forget, March 14th is Pi Day. Yay. Pie. Happy Monday, Pi Day. I know what I'm ordering for dessert pie. Next Monday.
Pi.
If
ice cream.
Are we done?
Pie. Spaghetti.
Spaghetti. If you want to get on the Technorama birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and we will wish you a happy birthday at the appropriate time of year. If you didn't make it on the calendar this year and it's still your birthday, happy birthday to you anyway. We want to share the love with you.
I have a great idea, Chuck.
Yes.
Maybe we should just like randomly announce people's birthdays, not on the date. So they have to kind of listen to see when they're...
Because it might be in September and we're in March. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. We'll just roll.
I get confused on which ones I said and which ones I didn't. Come on. There's got to be a systematic approach for this.
I can make a spreadsheet for that.
No, no databases this time. Come on.
Happy unbirthday.
Happy unbirthday. Ooh, a very, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Alice the listeners in Wonderland involved. Thing. They got to listen for when they're called. Not necessarily.
This isn't the lotto. Your pick five numbers are Ken Kitzman, Chute Schubert, and Lisa nice Godot. All right. Nice
many numbers. Everybody read off or you give $5 to.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Hacks and Strange Stories and a whole lot more. Stick around. We have another clip you'll want to hear right now.
Belly button biometrics, when only the highest level of security will do. Did you know that belly buttons, also sometimes called navels, are more unique than fingerprints? Protect your high security data with BBB, the 10,000 DPI scanner, now without the annoying sunburn. Belly button biometrics fits in great with today's bare midriff styles too. Make your passcode match your dress code with belly button biometrics.
Whatever, this is Eric from The Eric Rice Show, and you're listening to Technorama.
Happy birthday, Eric.
Is there even an Eric Rice Show anymore?
I probably not. I just threw that in because it's his birthday.
I know.
See, we get to use that thing once a year. All right. Forgot almost had the Hex and Strange Stories. We're not doing things out of order this week, are we? Hex and Strange Stories! From Oddity Central, we have a UK beggar sparks outrage after getting into a $70,000 Audi at the end of his, quote, shift.
Okay, I'm done.
You know, you hear about these people who are supposedly homeless and beggars, and they're hauling in cash, or they have cash, and they're just doing this. We had this discussion before the show started. Do you give them a can of beans or do you give them cash? I'd rather give them a can of beans. Because anyway, Matthew Brinton.
Gee, thanks, man.
Yeah, hope you have a can opener.
No can opener.
Bang it on a rock.
Yeah, no can opener.
Matthew Brinton, a beggar in England's Cornwall County, has earned the wrath of locals after he was spotted getting into an Audi TT in a parking lot near Bank Street. Brinton is a familiar face in the area, having begged there for several years. Footage of him getting into a $70,000 luxury car was uploaded on Facebook, and Brinton has been receiving death threats ever since. Wow. The 35-year-old beggar who lives with a friend claims to have received the car as an inheritance from his grandmother. Yeah, sell the car and get something real. He also says that the Audi has since been stolen, and he's now fearing for his life. Quote, I have not seen any of the social media posts because I don't have access to the internet. Because according to the police, I've had lots of death threats, he said. People are assuming too much and I'm getting a lot of abuse. This has been going on for years. So
wow,
apparently
your accent is like really
terrible.
Really, yeah.
Okay, we'll stop.
I was
going to
say authentic, but okay.
Blimey. There's been a... Crikey.
Oh, lots of noise. Wrong one.
There's been a video that's been posted to Facebook on February 18th, and it's indeed received hundreds of abusive comments from irate locals who have actually seen Brinton in person and given him money. I'm particularly disgusted as he conned £40 from an elderly gentleman I know to pay for a B&B for the night, then went home. One person commented, the poor elderly gent was distraught that his kindness had been abused in such a way. So how, my question to the others in the studio and to you, Craig, is how much do you believe these people with cardboard signs on the corner that they are destitute and homeless, or are they in fact con artists?
It's not like it's a cardboard sign is proof of anything. I mean, you can only take somebody at their face value. Either you do something that's right for you, and you know you did the right thing in your heart by helping somebody out, whether or not they deserved it. I don't know.
But let's say you give them $10 and then you later find out that they're a fraud. Does that preclude you from helping others?
You can't judge everybody by.
Yeah, I think you have to take it on a person by person basis, and it's, you know, that's a tough call. But
yeah,
you know, give them a can of beans.
I was gonna say I'll give them a can of beans. All right,
you can judge a little bit by the last photograph of that person you were talking about. I mean, the parka he was wearing is like a $200 parka. I mean, it's not a
that is a nice
that's
parka.
Not a cheap coat. Yeah. So I mean, you kind of have to use all your instincts when you're.
He's even covering himself with another expensive coat.
Yeah. Huh. So I mean,
like I said, you can only do what makes you feel right. And if you did, you know, the right thing in your heart and gave him $10, so what if he's a crook? You know, it's his fault. I mean, that's on him, not you.
All right. Well, since we're on the theme of ethics and possibly religion, because you want to do the right thing and be kind to others, right?
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Who wants the next question? The next article about a Russian church.
Is there?
I think Jack needs it.
All right. Jack will get it. Russian church to pay $11,500 in debt and prayers for construction company.
I like this because you can get out of a debt with prayers.
that's old school.
I'm intrigued.
It appears that in some parts of the world, prayers have legit market value. For example, a church in Russia is getting away with $11,500 debt by promising to pray for the good health of the creditors instead. The Nizhny Novgorod Diocese of the Russian Orthodox Church owed 916,000 rubles to construction company ERA for designing a heating system for one of their buildings. The church was only able to settle half the amount, and the company decided on taking legal action. But the owners of the company happened to be religious people, so the church was able to convince them to agree to a pre-trial settlement in which the loan would be written off and the church would pray for them in exchange.
All right.
Wow.
I'm intrigued.
Why didn't I think of that?
Does that work for school loans as well?
I pray my children can get through school. Yeah. Right. How about the Toyota dealership?
There's a picture down below where they're actually praying for the creditors.
So there's proof, yeah. Although it is common to make financial donations to Russian churches in exchange for a prayer, this is perhaps the first time such a legal agreement has been reached. In fact, the diocese legal department was rather taken aback when the company readily accepted the offer.
Holy crap, they bought it!
You know what? This sort of reminds me of the plot to The Producers.
Isn't this what Martin Luther was against?
It's springtime for Martin Luther.
Prayers.
Springtime for Hitler. All right. We had an agreement on the design of the heating in a building that belongs to the diocese and which houses the Pilgrim Center, a church representative said. It turned out there were financial difficulties, but we ourselves were surprised when the plaintiffs before the court suggested to make a settlement agreement in place of prayers. They even constituted the wording themselves.
They're as dumb as we think they are.
It seems that the company was more than willing to withdraw charges when they realized that the goodwill of the church was at stake. It obviously was a great deal for them. Perhaps they thought that the church's prayers might bring them far more benefit than the amount in question.
God bless them.
Would they accept the same deal from Pastafarians, though? That's my question. Oh.
The church will just throw them a spaghetti dinner.
Just during Lent.
During Lent?
No meatballs, then.
No meatballs.
It's pasta. It's meat's optional.
We want to give a shout out to the chat room. Who's on the chat room this evening, dear? We still Ben?
You know what? Ben has, it was a pleasure.
It sounds like Ben left. Okay.
Man.
Oh, that was, it was a pleasure. Oh, because he was responding to a comment we already made. Okay. So.
No, that was there right when I got on here. So I'm not sure okay. Ben's on the screen.
How many viewers are on? Two. All right. If you want to be part of this twosome and make it a threesome, we want careful. We want to see you on Sunday nights at 9:30. Just head over to chuckchat.com/technorama. Click on the watch now, live now. We're live, something like that. There's a big button on the right hand side that you can see. Easy to click, and we will be there. Do like Ben, set an alarm on your phone, computer, whatever it happens to be, and hang out with us, and we will have some fun with you, and you can have some fun with us, and that's about as far as we're going to go on that.
No legal obligations.
Was that
there.
The end of the articles? One,
it
two,
looks
three,
like
four.
It. Wow, what'd you do? Shorten the show?
No, I had like six in here. Oh, you know what happened? I hate to admit this.
You deleted it.
No, I left the Google Doc open.
And the cat did it.
Honest, that's what the cats did. There were like 50 Omega symbols on this thing. I don't know how the Omegas got on there or how you even make an Omega symbol. And I just cleaned up, but apparently they must have done a select and delete somewhere too.
You know, Chuck, my high school teachers never bought that when I said that same excuse.
This is the dog ate it, right. But the cat stepped on the keyboard. Okay, well, short show for you tonight.
I'm doing the show notes next week.
You do the show notes next week, and I'm not going to leave the show notes open for more than 5 minutes. Shame on me. The cats ate it. We don't even have a... No, I had a media corner in here because, yeah, there. We had the... Okay, we're going to do this from memory. On the screen, if you're watching on the video, we have an actual script from Peter Mayhew proving that Han shot first. This is from an original Luke Starkiller and whatever the original script name was. And if you read the script, it says Alan, who I believe was later renamed Greedo. That's the idea, Solo. Alan. You will come out. Yeah, it's Alan.
It's Bob.
Jerry.
Uta Juta Alan.
That's the idea, Solo. You will come outside with me, or must I finish it here? Han says, I don't think they'd like another killing in here. Uta Juta, they'd hardly notice. Get up. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I bet you have. Suddenly, the slimy alien disappears in a blinding flash of light. Han pulls his smoking gun from beneath the table as the other patrons look on in amazement. Han says, but it will take a lot more than the likes of you to finish me off. Han gets up and starts out of the cantina, flipping the bartender some coins as he leaves. Well, scene we're all familiar with. Sorry for the mess. So it's got hints of something serious has been rewritten. And if it's been rewritten that much, who's to say that this is still the original script? But in this one, Han shot first.
Was there any doubt, though?
Well, for me, I saw any doubt. I was there.
You got to go frame by frame in the original. And speaking of the original, I also read an article this week that the latest video you can get of episode 4 is 2006 because none of the original footage remains anymore. But there have been people restoring it, kind of taking out the pieces that don't belong and making a version of the original as close as they can. So it's online somewhere if you can get the original theatrical release. They've even left in some graininess for that sake.
I think you have to watch the holiday special first.
No.
To get
that. Ow.
I have seen it.
Craig has also thrown in a picture to the media corner of the set to the IT crowd. What else do we have in there? We had a couple more stories because I put them.
Well, I thought the set was pretty cool.
That's cool. Internet Explorer has officially lost market share. It is no longer the top browser. Chrome has taken it over.
I don't doubt that.
They are effectively saying, as estimated around May of 2016, Chrome will take over Internet Explorer as the leading market share browser. So
why not? I mean, crying out loud, that's been way late coming for a long time.
Well, the main reason that I understand is, A, it comes with the operating system. So a lot of people just default to using what comes with it rather than going out on the internet and searching for another browser. They go, oh, why should I bother? The other is corporate environment. A lot they can manage this with group policies.
They can do that with anything now.
You can, but it's sort of like, well, it's Internet Explorer. It's Microsoft. We can manage it. It's got all the patches and registry keys.
I'm serious. You can do that with Chrome now. What's the point?
What's your point? The point is that most people don't go that extra effort. They take the default. Mm-hmm. But now people are starting to see the light. Craig has also included a link in the media corner to the set of the IT Crowd, one of our favorite British comedy shows.
Look at the picture, man. It's got, the one thing about their set is they had almost everything you could think of.
Eye candy. It was like a Where's Waldo on that set. You're like, look, a Commodore PET. Oh, an Altair 8800. It was fun to spot what you could spot in that set. And you've included a picture, including the red door where Richmond apparently goes.
Don't open the red door.
And if you want to find that, show notes in the Technorama website. A lot of fun. We give our shout out to the chat room, and we're missing something in the geek library.
See, the drinking slows down, and everybody gets quiet.
Well, we can fix that.
Craig, can you speak more quietly, please?
Okay. 101.
Use your Barry White voice.
Yeah.
We are going to back out before someone says something really embarrassing at this point. Give the listener back a few minutes of their life. Thank you, Craig, for joining us.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks, we're going to
end the video stream after this, but we do have a special show right after this for the Patreon listeners. That's what's missing, our Patreon people. Look at the whole table of Patreon. It's missing. Thank you to our Patreon patrons.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Those cats, I tell you. It's no wonder they're out in the garage tonight. Call us on the listener line if you've got feedback. 206-222-2428. 206-222-CHAT is the number you want to call. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Chuck. It's been
thanks,
fun.
Thanks, Tiffany.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Craig.
And thanks, thank Scott.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Craig.
And we will do another quick show for the patrons right after this. Craig, binary high five.
101.
Hey, baby.
My sultry voice, baby.